Morning.
Morning.
I guess we can do better than that. Morning.
Morning.
Wow, church is alive. Thank you. This is my fifth time to Australia, and this is my first time in South Australia. So as they say, save the best for last, right? Yeah. I see a lot of heads nodding in agreement. Well, I'm Noel Pabiona. I'm from Compassion International in the Philippines, and I bring to you greetings from the Philippines, and we usually say mabuhay. But because I'm in Australia, let's do it the Aussie way. Good time, mates. Well, we're here to talk about not compassion, but about Christ and His bride, the church. And we're talking about the church as a catalyst. And the Bible is pretty clear when it said, you are the salt of the earth. The salt is a catalyst, and a catalyst is an agent of change. What is a catalyst? A catalyst is an element or something that is added into something, changes the composition of everything around it without itself being changed. That sounds like you. That sounds like anyone who is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, the church is an agent of change because of the people in it. Because the people in it are different from the world around it. And one thing that makes us distinct is the love of Jesus Christ. The Bible is pretty clear. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves God knows God and is born of God, right? And that love is in us, and that's no less than God's love. So when love is put into action, love and God is at work. And I'm going to talk to you this morning about the testimony of a church, the testimony of a person, the testimony of a community that has been changed because of the love of God. And sometimes we sit down, whether you're in Australia or in Canada or in some sponsoring country in Korea, like Korea, you know, sometimes we think like, hey, you know what? I support this child. I support this child. I love this child. I pray for that child. And, you know, I've watched videos like that many times, but it still moves my heart because I know how valuable it is for a child to be sponsored, to be told, I love you, and to read that from somebody thousands of miles away. That's love right there. And this morning, we're talking about the church as a catalyst. Because if God's love is in each one of us, then the most loving place anywhere in the world should be the church. Amen? Because it's the greatest aggregation of the most loving people in the world. And so, we're talking about loving my neighbor, the church as a catalyst. Now, let me... Okay? Oh, sorry. Too fast. Okay. Now, we listened to the story of Eunice Ponsica, but this is one of the millions of children who need Jesus Christ and who need to be released from poverty. You've heard about her story, how she was changed when she came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let me introduce you to her neighbor. Her neighbor is Nicole Nacario. I've been there, and she said she lives in a dirty place, in a dirty river. Well, you can search Tulyahan River in the Philippines. It's listed as one of the dirtiest or most polluted rivers in the world. And it's a despicable place to be in. But you know what? People live there. In fact, communities live there. And the church reaches out in love to the children here because they need Christ. And you have a big part in that because you enable the churches all over the world, whether in Haiti, in El Salvador, Guatemala, in Kenya, in Uganda, and in the Philippines, to reach out to these children because the church has to act as one body of Christ. Whether you're located in the United States or anywhere else in Australia, you work with the Philippine church, that is the love of God at work as one body. And here we see Nicole Nacario. All right? It says here, he's one of the young leaders at Valenzuela Wesleyan Church in the Philippines, the lifeblood of the young people in the church who lead 60 young people. But you know what? His story is not all that rosy. He was sponsored in Compassion. He was taught the gospel. He was taught the Bible. But somehow, because of the influence of the violence in his family, the influence of poverty in his life, he got wayward when he reached his adolescent years. He joined a gang and fought his way up to the gang to become the leader of Dos Talentos, one of the more violent gangs in Valenzuela. It's odd to know that somebody who is a sponsored child in compassion, is actually the leader of a violent gang. But you know what? The church loved him. He still went to church. He wasn't judged as a bad boy. He was loved as a boy who needs Christ. And so the church worked with him, convinced him until he finally felt the love of God flood his life. And he gave his life to Christ. And when he gave his life to Christ, he said, I'm not going to a life of violence and hate. I'm going to live a life of love. He left Dos Talentos. And because the gang had no leader, it disbanded itself. And you know, when you go to that community, you don't look for Dos Talentos anymore. You don't look for Nicole. You look for somebody who is labeled, I'm looking for Mr. Bible. They're going to bring you to him. Because he's now a renowned Bible teacher in the community. And you know why that happened? Because the love of Jesus reached him. That even in the depths of poverty, even in the depths of violence, he felt the love of God extended through the hands of men. And we all have a part of it. It should be easy for us to be able to express that love, right? Because love is a verb. And that's why Jesus commands it. He says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all your soul, all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as? Wow. The easiest thing to do is love ourselves, right? But the greatest thing to do is to love others the way Jesus would love them. And for each child you sponsored, for each Hungry Jack you miss every week. I just got Hungry Jack Whopper yesterday. You skip one of that. One Hungry Jack meal, Whopper meal a week. That's good for your health. You know that? But you know that? When you use that to support another person in poverty across the globe, that means a lifetime of change. And I'm telling you this because this is what it exactly means. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Because when love is in action, God's love is at work. Amen? And it changes the lives of children, as you can see in the lives of Eunice and Nicole. And imagine if the life of Nicole was not changed. Then he would still be living a life of violence and the gang would be ruling their community. But you know what? Because that life was changed. A generation was changed. A generation of children was changed. Now, let's look at one impact of love at work. This is Lorega. You can search it in the internet. It's called Living Among the Dead. It's a community that's so poor, it's built on the tombs, on a public cemetery. A lot of it are open. You go there, it stinks. There's a slaughterhouse right beside it, and all the dirt and everything is dumped in the drainage. We send people there, they faint, they collapse, and then you have to bring them out. Why? Because the smoke that comes out of the open sewer is methane. And you have to adapt, your body has to adapt to smelling methane. I brought the vice president of World Orphans there to observe. And you know what? I was enjoying my snack with some of the kids who are selling banana cue. You know, it's a banana with sugar. So I was eating it with the kids. I was sitting on a tomb. And then he turned around and I saw him crying. And he said, Noel, World Orphans works in 23 countries in the context of abject poverty. And he was crying, said, why, what's wrong? What I'm going to tell you might offend you, but this has got to be the most depressing place I've ever been to in this planet. There's just no hope among the dead. But you see, there were changes in the community. You can see people living in tombs, people living hopeless lives. But how will their stories be changed? You see, Lorega is known for prostitution. It's known for violence. It's known for drugs. It's known for illegal gambling. You demand anything about it, they're going to provide you it. You know what? I went there. I was wearing this formal Filipino attire called the barong because I was going to speak in the graduation of kids in the church. So I boarded a taxi. I said, take me to Lorega. And I saw the taxi driver just glancing. He kept on glancing in his rearview mirror. So I said, what's up? And he said, sir, you look like a very decent man. I said, wow, thank you. And he said, but why in the world are you going to Lorega to get a girl? Because Lorega is known for a place where you pick up girls. And I said, I'm not going to pick up a girl. I'm going to church. And it's, oh, I know that church. And that's the church we're talking about here. You know what? Why the community changed? Because it was controlled by one wicked and evil woman. And I'm going to give Pastor Jonathan a book later on that was written by OMF, not by Compassion. She's known as Nanay Masing. Nanay means mother. Nanay Masing is an old woman who's got power in her hands in that entire criminal-infested community. She controls illegal gambling, contract killings, drugs, prostitution, name it, she controls it. You go against her, you're dead. In fact, I didn't mention this morning, that when you enter one of the four entrances to the community, you're a stranger, people will bump you intentionally. Just to warn you that you're not welcome, and second, they're going to feel if you're a cop, was a gun or anything, and you get ambushed. She controls everything. And the enforcer there is no less than her own son named Davis. He will kill with a smile. But you know what? The son of Davis was registered and was sponsored in Compassion International with a church. And he came to faith. He came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that he had the guts to rebuke his dad whenever they eat a meal. Because the dad would just eat a meal and said, hey, don't even touch the food without praying. What? And he will pray. And it just slowly worked its way in his family. That one time, the husband of Nanay Masing got very ill with cancer. And she said, Lord, if you are the real God, you can have power over this man. I love him, and I want to see him change and his children change. But you know what the church did? They put love into action. They visited Nanay Masing. They visited Davis. They prayed for the family. They were there even in the midst of the gambling, illegal gambling activities that were going on. So that Nanay Masing understood the love of Jesus Christ and she came to faith. Good grief. It's almost impossible to believe that some wicked woman, as wicked as that, could come to faith. But you know what? That's when the love of God is at work. It does the impossible. And then when she came to faith, you know, she abolished illegal gambling. She took out any control over prostitution, over drugs. She wasn't earning anything anymore. Could you imagine that? And she turned the gambling hall into a Bible study hall. And they were teaching Bible study there. And one night, it's in the book, Davis came home bloodied from a gang fight. All bloodied, and he was hiding, and he was listening to the Bible study that the pastor was teaching. And he heard about the love of Jesus and said, I don't have that love. I got hate and bitterness in my heart. But you see, if that God can provide it, I want to listen to it. And he heard the gospel. He came to faith. And it gives me goosebumps every time I teach a story because I've seen them firsthand personally. And because there was no control over gangs, there was no control over prostitution, drugs, gambling, and everything that was going on there, it was easy for the government to come in and redevelop the community because there was no organized opposition. You know why that happened? Because the church cared to love. And you know why that was made possible? Because churches like you, people like you, cared enough to support the work of the church there. And sometimes when people, you know, when you hear stories about Compassion, it's like, you know what? It's just the Philippines. It's just Haiti. You guys are doing well. We're not doing well. Because we cannot do that without people like you. So I'm talking here about Christ and his love at work in communities like this. And it has been redeveloped. Living among the dead versus living with hope. When I left, they were building houses in the relocation site so that the place can be redeveloped. Not only that, it doesn't only change the church, the child, it doesn't only change the community. Love in action changes the church. The church as a catalyst is by itself changed when it expresses the love of God in what it does. You know, this is the church in 2003 before it partnered with Compassion. You know, when you go to Cebu City, it's called Honquera. That place is Honquera. It's in a university belt. And the Alliance Pastor Churches, they regret being assigned to that place because it's like your deathbed for pastors. You know why? Because they can barely get 120 people in one service. And most of these are students. So it only gets filled with 120 people when there are classes going on. But summer, they could barely have 40 35, because very few people go to that church. And you know what's bad is that that church is located right in the middle of a lot of slums. So there are a lot of street kids gathering around the church. And you know how the church responded initially to the street kids? Hey, get out. Hey, get out. Why? Oh, these street kids, they steal things, they get our hymnals, they tear, they write on walls. They're not good for the church. No love for its community. So the pastor was just biding his time. I'm going to get reassigned, and by the time, I just have to make my time here. But you know what? One day, he was going to preach. He went up, he saw all of those children staring at him. That sea of sweet children. And he felt the love of God bite into his heart. And he started crying. And he said, you know what? I'm not going to preach. I want you to go out there right now. Get one or two street children. Hug them. Tell them about the love of Jesus. And pray for them. And he started doing that. And that just transformed the church. I said, we're going to work with compassion. We're going to reach out to these communities. And you know what? They were very discouraging people, you know? The people were saying like, hey, you're going to work with the poor? Your church is even poor. You can't work with them. It's going to deplete your resources. But you know what? Ever since they started working with compassion to reach out to the poor, you can see that this church that could barely fit 120 people, after many years, after in 2015, they already have planted 5 churches. There are over 1,000 people. And they have made an impact in the community. And look at what the church is right now. Does that look poor to you? Why? Because Jesus Christ was preached. The love of God was preached. Jesus brought people in there to support the ministry locally. That's why they grew bigger and bigger and bigger. That's the love of Christ at work. It changes children. It changes the next generation. It changes communities. Why? When it changes a child, it changes a family, right? When it changes a family, it changes the community. So the impact is widespread. And while the church is serving and the love of God is practiced, the church itself changes. That's Pastor Roel and Mrs. Beth Tabasa. Pastor Roel has been promoted as a district superintendent while his wife, Beth Tabasa, is still the project director of the Partnership with Compassion, appropriately entitled Loving Your Neighbor Student Center. My friends, that's love in action. And I'd like to leave this word with you. Love in action is powerful. Why? It's God's power at work. Love is a verb that needs to be expressed. We thank you because you express love for children thousands of miles away in the Philippines, in Haiti, in Guatemala, wherever they may be, in Kenya. It changes the community. Not only is the impact of your help and love generational, it's widespread. It changes the church. I know the love of Jesus Christ expressed will change this church as it changes all the churches around it. Because the church becomes a catalyst, an agent for change. And I cannot stop preaching here without saying thank you for the help and the love that you've extended to children and churches like ours. Let me end with this. 1 John 3:17 to 18, it says, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Right? I didn't say that. The Bible did. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. In behalf of Compassion International and the churches that we work with, we thank you for expressing so much love to children at risk and to churches that need your help. We praise God for you. Thank you.